Hey, thank you to Helix for sponsoring this podcast. Adam has had his Helix mattress for almost a year now, and he's loving it. It's actually hard to get him up. In fact, he won't stop talking about it. You'll understand what we mean when he goes into detail. Thank you for the detail, Adam, later on the episode. But for now, we want to tell our listeners about a special deal going on. Our Sleepy Time Pal Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and, as if that's not enough, two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/Paula. That's helixsleep.com/Paula. This is their best offer yet, and I'll bet it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. The spread of misinformation has fueled our cultural divide and increased our collective anxiety about the future. Tackling misinformation isn't a simple task, but it's important. And that's why I'm so excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that's dismantling New Age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis.
On the show, a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic walk into a bar, and the bartender says, no, it's not that old joke. They dive deep into current events such as RFK Jr.'s involvement in mainstreaming dangerous anti-vax rhetoric. They crowdsource, research, analyze, and dream up answers to the problem with, get this, proven science as their ultimate guiding light.
I highly recommend you check out Conspirituality's fascinating episodes on creating comedy in the MAGAverse with Jordan Klepper or RFK Jr. flirting with body fascism.
And you've listened to a bunch of them at this point, Paula, I know, and you tell me you love it.
I do. They're fascinating, and my favorite part is they use, wait for it, proven science.
And if
there's any kids listening, that's a class we used to take. Proven yep. science as their ultimate guiding light. I love that.
From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality podcast will help you stay informed about misinformation and help you resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming to you live from the Ray Horseman Studio in North Hollywood, California, it's Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, your comedy field guide to life. Tonight, how sweet it is. Valerie Gordon, owner of Valerie Confections, is here to tell us how to make candy at home. 2 months ago, Bonnie Burns, a.k.a. Captain Crinkle, tried her hand at baking original recipe Butterfinger bars. My taste buds are still in triage. Can Valerie tell us what went wrong? Her Butterfinger bar autopsy is coming up. Plus, Frontier Communications finally came through with Paula's $1,000 check for winning their Put Down Your Smartphone for a Week contest. How will she spend the money? Dame Maggie Smith, are you still out there on Miranda Street? We'll find out. I'm Adam Felber, the man who tries to keep our conversational frosting on top of the topical cupcake. And now, please welcome the woman whose thematic pastry bag is always spraying off the cake tray, Paula Poundstone. Welcome, Paula.
Thank you
so
much.
And thanks to tonight's fantastic house band drummer percussionist, Dave Lewis.
Thank you, Dave. That was fantastic. Woo! The pod puppy Mo looked like she's going to go for your throat over that.
When she first heard the sound of the cajon,
I don't think it was the call of the wild for her. She was a little nervous. Yeah. She got a little nervous. That was fantastic.
She got some nerves. I also want to welcome a special guest to the spacious Ray Horseman Studios here tonight. Two special guests. Ian Hall and his wife, Debbie Derryberry.
There we go.
Debbie's a noted voiceover, a voice actress.
I heard you.
She's the voice of Jimmy Neutron.
I love Jimmy Neutron.
She's right here behind you.
Wow,
say hi to her.
That is fantastic.
So when you performed at the Theater of the Ace Hotel in Los Angeles,
yes.
Ian won a raffle titled Go From Being a Face in the Crowd to a Crowd of One. And he's actually part of a crowd of two here. And he's definitely crowds. He's sitting right here in our front row, which is, in fact, our only row.
Yeah. This is really the first time that we've had actual audience members. And it sold out right away.
Yeah, it did. It really did. Yeah. We sold out at a rate of 100%. If we were charging more than nothing for the ticket, it would be
this is unbelievable.
A money-making operation in a big way.
Yeah. I remember one time U2, I think, played like in a downtown area.
U2?
And they sold out like not as fast as we did because we just packed this place
Yeah.
in almost,
you know, and almost nothing.
Yeah, it was two tickets gone like that.
Yeah, and there's only two of us, me and you, two principal performers here.
Right, exactly.
Right, and you two has to split it four ways.
Oh, we're making a ton of money off this.
Although I have a theory about you two. I think the band should be called The Edge and Bono, and you two are lucky.
Oh, I'm not really,
I'm not really familiar with their music at all.
I can't believe you lashed out at them.
I had to.
In that way. Well, welcome, Ian and Debbie. Thank you so much for being here. And it's such a good night to be here, too.
Yeah, it is. We have a corker of a show. Your dog is currently digging through a linoleum floor.
My dog likes to dig at the floor.
Yeah. It's not bright. But you laid out an assortment of toys.
I did.
And I don't know who's going to make more noise with them, your dog or Captain Crinkle.
Well, Captain Crinkle started scratching at the floor first, and then Mo started doing it. Hey, so I did. I won.
You won?
I won the $1,000.
Yeah, but let's qualify that. We blackmailed them repeatedly on the air.
Well,
until
no, we
they
didn't
paid
blackmail
the money.
Them. We just said, I think I did the best essay.
Okay.
And then Tony and Anita Hall kept emailing them saying, Paula wants her $1,000.
Yeah. And then it took a long time for the check to come, but the check did come.
It actually came. I assume it cleared. So Frontier Communications, thank you very much. Yeah. I did do the...
It definitely cleared. It was an electronic transfer.
Oh, I don't know anything about that. All right, so I wrote the essay. It was an essay contest about why you should be the person to spend the week without their smartphone. And then I journaled about the experience. I reported on this very podcast.
You fulfilled all the duties.
I was a good. There have been Miss Americas that didn't toe the line the way I did.
Right. Yeah. So you deserve that $1,000, and I think Frontier Communications deserves a. If not an apology, is sort of a extending an olive branch, because we did really take it right at them.
We don't owe them an apology. We didn't do anything.
They
were delayed in acknowledging
my winning. Exactly. And we made fun of them.
We didn't make fun of them.
We made fun of Karen Quatch's name.
Okay, yeah, but
repeatedly.
That's because she's named Karen Quatch.
We still don't know how to pronounce it.
How bad would we be at our jobs as comics?
That's true.
If we had nothing to say about a name like Karen Quatch.
Yeah. All right. Well, Karen, we love you. We're happy to get that money. And now Bonnie Burns is piping up.
What does she say?
Because it's always great when you have somebody off mic yelling something.
It's qua. It's not qua.
She says it's qua now.
It's
yeah,
not
she's
qua.
The qua.
Yeah, it's not Karen qua.
It's not
qua. Yeah, she was.
And now Tony is.
Oh my God!
Tony's going.
No, we had
qua.
The chicken woman here last week. The woman about raising chickens was here last week, and now both Bonnie and Tony are doing some odd chicken sounds.
Yeah, it is
you
like a duck
factory. You guys need to get 25 feet from this building right now.
Karen, I wish you were here watching these people trying to pronounce
qua.
Your name. At you.
And Tony does it with a look on her face that made her peplos shiver. Made her peplos slip down off her shoulders a little bit.
Tony, fix your peplos. It's scandalous.
Qua.
Now, Paula, what are
Thank
you
Thank you, Karen Quack. I appreciate your
we
diligence.
We do appreciate it. We appreciate Frontier Communications in general.
Yeah. Absolutely, because what better than communications?
You guys should think about sponsoring our podcast now.
There's a good idea.
In fact, we're going to start making fun of you until you do.
Yeah. We found a technique that works with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is just hammer them every day. Tony, why don't you write to them and say, when can we expect your advertising dollars?
Yeah, Tony, get on that, will you, please? That's great.
Because
we gave them so much free publicity, right?
We did give them a tremendous amount of free publicity. No one had ever even heard of Frontier Communications until we brought
it
up.
Put them on the map.
You know, twice now I have encountered vans with Frontier Communications on the side. In fact, for a while I thought they were, like, you know, following me.
right.
Just twice I happened to, while I was riding my little scooter in Santa Monica,
sure.
I saw it, you know. And I've had, hey, how you doing? Kind of exchanges with Frontier Communications van drivers.
Yeah.
Very sweet. Yeah,
oh,
like
nice.
Notably sweet. So I think that didn't
this
they buy
This is another free Frontier Communications ad.
Yeah,
Tony, make sure you bill for this one when you send that email.
I could use another grand. So, but you know, here's the important thing, which is that this is so exciting because, as listeners know, Dame Maggie Smith agreed to do this show.
Didn't really.
She did. And so we have been, I know, Debbie, Derryberry
just almost exploded.
It's so excited.
We've had
right
some
now.
Great actors on the show in your Outside the Actor studio. We've
That's
had
true.
Ed and, Begley Jr. and Lily Tomlin and
Bill Irwin.
Bill Irwin.
And Fred Willard. But the thing is, Dame Maggie Smith agreed to do the show.
Didn't.
And she, you know, wouldn't take payment for it,
which
I feel the same way. So she wouldn't take payment, but she said, well, I could give $1,000 to her favorite charity.
Did she know?
And so the $1,000 from Frontier Communications was the $1,000 that I was going to give to her.
And it didn't show up.
So she has been sitting in her car out on Miranda Street.
Out
for,
here.
What has it been, like a month now?
Yeah, although I don't recall seeing her out there at any point.
Yeah, because a lot of, you know what, she shops at Roger Federer's.
It's not Roger Federer's. That's an appliance place called Fetter.
No, it's Roger Federer's. He has an appliance store right here on the corner of Miranda Street.
Uh-huh.
You know, you can't win every fucking tennis game.
No, I get it.
And
it's
so
just
he has to have like a fallback position.
Selling appliances.
Yeah. Sometimes when he swings at a ball and he misses.
Tens of millions of dollars playing tennis.
Right, but he doesn't win every game, so he doesn't always win, and he's built up a certain amount of money that he has to have because he lives in a fancy house. Sometimes when he swings at a ball and he misses, you can hear him say, gotta sell another stove!
Pretty sure that's not what he's yelling.
Do you watch ESPN?
You mean the sports network?
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you seen his games?
I've watched a lot of tennis.
I think you watch it with the volume turned down.
No.
And he doesn't move his lips when he says it.
No,
I bet
he doesn't.
He's got another stove. He does it like.
Another stove, yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of wish he did do that.
That's exactly what he does.
Well, maybe Maggie Smith is shopping at his store right now. But
yeah, she might be.
Well, okay, so what are you going to go look for her?
I am going to go look for her.
Go dangle the, what?
There's also a marijuana place on the corner,
a dispensary opened, or is it a boutique? I think it's a dispensary.
I don't know if it's a dispensary or a boutique. And then there's a pet store right beside that. And
right.
She could be in any of those.
Which I think is a front
places.
For another dispensary.
Yeah, the pet store was pissed when that dispensary went in there. They said, we were doing just fine, thank you.
Three ratty puppies in the window, and you can come in and buy all the drugs
I've been
you
in
want.
That I've been into that pet store. It's lovely.
It is.
So she's out there, and you know what?
What?
I'm going to go see if I can find her.
Give her the $1,000?
I'm going to give her the $1,000.
Oh, you're going to run out onto Miranda Street yelling, Dame Maggie Smith.
That's exactly right.
With $1,000 in your hand.
I am.
What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah. All right. Maggie Smith!
Are you really going?
I'm going.
She's really going.
I'm going right now out onto Miranda Street. I have the $1,000 in my back pocket. Don't tell anybody. I have the $1,000 in my back pocket. Come on, Mo.
All right, Paula Poundstone is actually leaving the building. Wow, be safe out there, Paula. Say hi to Roger and Maggie Wow. So, I finally have a chance to be alone with you, the audience. That's nice. It's a private time for us, and I want to share this with you, dear nobodies. A little insight into my world, a world filled with intellectual discourse that stays right on topic. That's been my dream since childhood, to have intelligent conversations that grow logically from one premise into a thesis. It's a dream I'm still pursuing. I grew up at a bucolic small town on Long Island, and you might not know this, but my mother was also a writer. She was a prolific author of romances.
Oh, Jesus!
Wait, what? You're back!
Oh, fuck.
Okay.
Apparently, I talked to Roger.
Okay.
And,
Roger Federer.
Yeah, she bought a mini fridge.
Maggie Smith bought a mini fridge,
and she was taking it in a handcart up the street, and I couldn't catch up to her. But guess what? I don't have the $1,000 anymore.
What do you mean you don't have the $1,000 anymore?
I bumped into some guys outside, and I don't have the $1,000 anymore.
You got mugged?
I got mugged just about three doors down.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
What a calamity.
Yeah, it's a calamity.
Calamity, actually.
Yeah, and the other thing is, there's about a half a dozen possums lining the wall just as you step out of here.
Yeah. You shouldn't step out there. You know, I usually walk you back to your car at the end of every show.
Yeah, where the hell were you? What were you doing in here?
I was holding down the show here.
Yeah?
Yeah. Sharing some stuff with our listeners.
Were you reading your life story to the listeners?
No. No.
I think you were.
No.
I think you were reading your life
Definitely
story.
Definitely not. I wouldn't be doing that.
Oh, my
it was
God.
Absolutely
well, we've
not
lost. I mean, temporarily, anyways. You know, the bad news is we lost Dame Maggie Smith. The good news is her beverages are going to be chilled.
I guess that's good news. So all we're down is one imaginary Maggie Smith.
It was not
and a real $1,000.
I don't know why you keep saying that.
This has been a great night.
Fuck.
Well, as long as we're talking about all our successes, you said you wanted to do a retraction of sorts tonight.
I do. You know what? I did the worst thing last week, and I felt awful about it.
Well, it's okay. I forgive you. You contradicted me a lot, but
no,
you know what?
No,
that is fine.
No, that I was right about. You are so wrong sometimes. You know, as a comic, you just sort of reach for stuff. Sometimes, like when I'm doing my job as a comic, sometimes it's like I'm trying to pack really fast.
Right.
Like I'm trying to evacuate.
Sure.
Right. I'm just sort of grabbing everything and throwing it into.
Oh yeah, I've done improv for like 30 years. I get it.
Yeah, and so I made a joke about Charlize Theron's teeth because you know.
What do you mean you made a joke about them?
Well. She has kind of big teeth, and I said something.
I think that's
something.
What you said.
Yeah.
And I don't think you actually made a joke. I think you just called her a woman with big teeth.
I did, but it was unnecessary. You know, I am the last person who gives a shit about... I think she's very beautiful, by the way, and a fine actress. And I'm the last person who cares about anything about that. It was just one of the... I just said it. In an unedited way. Well, and then we had Andre on here, who is the guy.
Andre Bormanis, I think his name
was,
right?
Yes, who came to talk about participating in making of Star Trek and sci-fi movies and using real science in sci-fi movies and television. And the nicest guy in the world.
Yeah.
And I think I roped him into, I said, she has big teeth. And he goes, yeah, she does. And, you know. You know, he's still in a Catholic confessional right now.
No.
Nicest guy in the world.
She egged his house on Halloween because
of
that.
Did she?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
my
I saw
gosh.
That on TMZ.
Oh, wow.
So you probably owe an apology
been,
to both of them because you
what
roped
you've been
him
watching.
Into it.
Yeah, I did. I roped him into it. It was just so stupid of me, and I apologize. And I know, you know, that Charlize Theron doesn't listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone.
How do you know?
I just have a sense.
You could have asked Maggie Smith.
I could have asked Maggie Smith, but she couldn't hear me over the rattle of that two-wheeler.
Okay.
She was using a hand cart, pushing up, and it's a...
I'm so certain that's not Maggie Smith we're talking about.
It was Maggie Smith. It was Dame Maggie Smith.
With a hand cart on Miranda Street?
Yes.
Did she speak English?
Well, I couldn't talk to her. She was way up the street from me. I was running. I was like, Dame Maggie Smith, I have the thousand... Oh!
Oh, so you yelled that you had 1,000 on Miranda Street.
Yeah, I was waving it. I said, I have 1,000. That's exactly what I said.
You deserve it.
Oh, my God. Tony, can you get in touch with Frontier Communications?
Yeah, tell them we lost the money. We're going to need them to replace it.
I did my share.
Yeah, you really did.
When can Paul expect her reimbursement?
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I don't think big teeth is an insult. I think an actor and actress, they want to have big teeth. Because the alternative
That's
is
ridiculous.
Having small teeth.
No actor or actress says I want to have big teeth.
I think so.
Mama, what I want to do is have big teeth, Mama.
Well,
that's what
not
I
like
want to do.
Goal in life. But there are people nodding behind you, Paula.
There are
agreeing
not.
With,
that's
yes,
ridiculous. They
audience,
agree with anything you
audience,
say.
Because I'm saying things that are true.
Yeah. No, that's just a stupid
You should try it sometimes.
That's just a stupid thing to say. You know, Adam, the phone's ringing. Get the phone.
Oh, no. No, please don't make me get the phone, Paula.
Yeah. Adam, get the
Adam, hello?
Get the phone. You are totally right about this big teeth thing. Actors and actresses.
Wait, who's this?
Mike Boom Boom Bonifant. Actors and actresses do not want to have small teeth. You are totally right. I don't know how you work with that woman, Paula Pounce. She's a bitch. I don't know how you work with
her.
Oh,
hey, easy there, Mike.
She's a fucking
Mike,
idiot.
Mike, take it. Mike,
she's
I'm not going to listen to this.
Anybody knows that actors and actresses want to have small teeth.
What the hell?
You know, the first thing you do when you get to Hollywood is you get an agent and a teeth file. That's, no.
Wait, it's the opposite of what you're saying, Mike.
Oh, fuck.
You're right, Adam. You're right, man. I love you. You are right. You are so funny. And you're always right. And Adam, she's a bitch.
No, Mike, I need you not to do that on my show.
No, man.
I'm hanging up on you. Bye, Mike.
Man, Adam, Adam.
How are you still yelling, Adam, Adam? I hung up on you. Good God. Mike Bonav something.
Yeah, it's Mike Bonav.
How did you get back? I didn't pick up the phone.
I had to redial.
I didn't pick up. That doesn't happen. Oh, get out of here, Mike. I need to talk to Paula Poundstone. Paula, Mike Boom Boom Bonavich.
Hello.
No.
Hello.
Click.
Yeah, Adam, it's me, Mike Boom Boom Bonavich. Oh, man, it's so good to talk to you. You know, I got to tell you something. I'm married. What a bitch.
Oh, that's it, Mike. You're off. You're off the show. Jesus. I will not take that kind of sexism. Paul, I don't know why you didn't stand up for yourself there.
I was out of the room.
Okay.
Adam, you know I have a house full of cats and a couple of big dogs. So I have this one cat who every night likes to stand in the hallway and yowl. And he has kind of a little bit like me because of allergies. I don't know why he has it, but his name is Theo, and he has a really gravelly voice. So he'll, it's hard to describe it. I can't do a good impression, but it's a little dusty, gravelly voice. Okay, so earlier I was laying on the living room floor because I'm exhausted, and I'm wearing a nylon fiberfill vest. As I'm laying on the floor, Theo shoves his head through one sleeve of the vest and crawls up and is now stuck inside in between my back and the vest and is yowling because he can't get out. And then finally his head comes out the other sleeve and he goes out. What's not to love? That's what I say. What is not to love?
Which brings me to this. Today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program.
Your pet is part of your family, you know that already, and you want the best for them no matter what. But vet bills can really add up. Go ahead, ask me. That's why you should check out pet insurance. And with ASPCA Pet Health Insurance, you can focus on the care your pet deserves and cover what matters most.
The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they may need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. That's a lot of pets.
True.
They allow you to customize your plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are.
Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account.
To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/Paula. That's ASPCA. We spell that ASPCA. Petinsurance.com/Paula. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance. And if you're going to do it anyway,
use our code.
Hey, Paula, it's been almost a year now since I got my Helix mattress. And as you remember, there was some drama surrounding Helix mattresses.
Because when Helix first
sponsored us, Bonnie took the mattress and she's been loving it. But finally, I got my chance to get a Helix mattress and I sleep so well. I mean, the family bed is where we all gather. We watch movies in our room occasionally and everybody just piles on it and it's comfy. And yet when one person hops on, the other half of the mattress doesn't fly up. I'm a fan.
Well, you know, Adam, everybody is unique and everyone sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. Models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, enhanced cooling features to keep you from overheating at night. And if your spine needs some extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design combining individually wrapped steel coils in the base with premium foam layers on top. It is the perfect combination of comfort and support.
I agree with that last bit. I don't get all the technical stuff about the mattress, but it is soft and supportive. Helix offers 20 unique mattresses, the award-winning Lux, which I got, and ultra-premium Elite Collections, the Helix Plus, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and the Helix Kids mattress, designed for growing bodies and endorsed by child sleep experts, and my daughter now wants one. So, how will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? You go to their website, take the Helix sleep quiz, and you find your perfect mattress match in under 2 minutes.
You know, when you said you can't follow all the technical stuff, it's really not that technical. You know, no matter what way you sleep, they have a mattress that will support and comfort you. How hard is that?
You know, when you say it that way, it seems a lot simpler. I take it back. That's my boner.
And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door, free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress.
Well, I like that there's a warranty, but they can pry that mattress from my cold, dead hands. I took the sleep quiz. I was matched with the Helix Midnight Lux. I got the Lux. And I love it. It is such an upgrade from my old mattress.
You know, I think Bonnie got the Midnight Lux.
She did.
Too.
Yeah.
You're not here. Don't want to take Adam's word for it? Well, you got Bonnie's word. Helix has been awarded the number one mattress picked by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors of sleep medicine as a go-to solution for improving your sleep. Your sleepy time pal Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners.
That's a lot, and it's already not that expensive a mattress. Go to helixsleep.com/Paula.
That's helixsleep.com/Paula.
This is their best offer yet. It's fantastic. It won't last long.
With Helix, better sleep starts now. Well, not right now.
And if you're going to get it anyway,
use our code.
Hey, Paula. You know, every once in a while we get a new advertiser that I get super excited about. And I have to say, just because of the circumstances of my life, right now I'm really excited about our new advertiser, Quince, of Quince.com, the clothing provider.
Not to be mistaken for Quince from Midsummer Night's Dream. And let me just say this, and maybe it's not important to an advertisement, but when I was in the fourth grade, our class put on a production of A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Okay.
And I played Peter Quince. There's the connection.
One of the mechanicals. That's a great connection. Also, yes, has nothing to do with this, which is that Quince is an online clothing store. And as you know, Paula, I've lost a little weight lately.
Oh, right.
75 pounds. Yeah. So I literally have no clothes that are in my size until I just ordered some stuff at Quince. And I figured, like, here's a chance for me to create a new look for myself. A whole new image.
And how's it going?
Not bad. I mean, the clothes are fantastic. I know that you ordered some too. What I got is the Comfort Stretch Traveler 5-pocket pants. And I got I got the 100% European linen shirt, and it looks breezy and it fits beautifully. And these are like premium pieces of clothing that are selling for like, you know, $30 a piece or starting at $30 at quince.com. It's awesome. I look good.
I ordered the brushed lounge jogger.
Ooh.
And, you know, I put them on when I came back from New York. I pulled them on and I swear to you, okay, this is not scientific because I was tired already.
Right.
But they were so soft and so comfortable that honestly, like right as I got them up to my waist, I think my eyes closed. They're so, it's a softness. It's a kind of softness that I don't think I've ever experienced in a garment, honestly.
You know, my drawstring European linen trousers are a little bit like that, too. Like, so comfortable that I just want to hang out with myself.
Sure. Yeah. And they're European. Keep that in mind.
European. They are so European. And you can get those kinds. You can get washable silk tops. You can get 14-karat gold jewelry and, like, all these accessories.
Quince sells a lineup of timeless pieces that keep their customers looking effortlessly chic year after year. I'm not certain that I look chic, but certainly if I did, it's not going to take a lot of effort.
I now look chic and I feel pretty great. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabric. It's all good as far as I can see.
Is it my imagination or do they cut out the middleman?
They cut out the middleman, Paula Poundstone.
I love it when they cut out the middleman. That's the thing, they cut out the middleman. That's fantastic.
So be like me and Paula. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/nobody for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/nobody to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/nobody. And honestly, I look fantastic. Paula, you won't be able to keep your hands off me.
Oh, I can't wait. And don't think that if you had to return something, don't think you're sending it to a middleman because they cut out the middleman.
They cut out the middleman. That's quince.com/nobody. And if you're going to do it anyway,
use our code.
Hey, do you have a word for us this week, Paula?
You know, I do. Oh, my gosh.
Because I see the rails over there. Maybe we should get back on them for a second.
Well, they look small in the distance, yeah, don't they? Adam, I have a word for this week.
Oh, great.
It's the word clack.
Clack.
Which is spelled C-L-A-Q-U-E. It is a noun. It's individual or organized group hired to applaud a performance, as in a theater. Or the second.
Well, there's our clack.
Well, I got
you
bad news for you.
You guys are getting nothing, by the way. We got snacks.
The second definition is group of fawners or sycophants, but we're using the first definition.
Yeah. And you know, they are being paid. They're being paid in snacks. They're a snack clack.
Yeah. I have a...
A sentence?
I do. I had a sentence. Where the hell did it go?
I don't know, Paula.
Due to our budget, Ian Hall and Debbie Derryberry are our clack this week. And obviously, we are using the first definition.
Right.
You know, Adam, I've had such a hard time remembering the words that I learn each week. And I've been trying to put them to a song because sometimes music
Right, and we asked our listeners to do so,
memory.
Too. We haven't really received any yet. And,
no,
and
I think because they've been so impressed with the songs that I've come up with.
I'm begging you, listeners, to take her away from this songwriting pursuit.
I'm going to...
Send us something.
I'm going to give you what I got.
Your song for... This is your catchy song to help you remember the vocabulary words.
That's correct.
Go ahead.
All right. This week's word is clack. It's a noun that means individual or organized group hired to applaud a performance, as in a theater. Last week's word was horloge. It's a noun that means timepiece, as a clock. Watch your hourglass. The week before, the word was probity, a noun meaning moral excellence, integrity. The week before that, we had nugatory. It's an adjective that means inconsequential, worthless, having no force, inoperative. Adam didn't think it was the right word to describe the incorrectly prescribed antibiotic for my bladder infection, but I did, I did, I did.
Okay, that was impressive.
Thank you very much.
Now that was your repeat performance of the song from last week.
Yes, yes. It grows each week.
I understand that it's growing,
that's the premise.
Yes, I get the premise.
Yeah,
the bit.
It grows.
Absolutely. However, I want to point out to you that a song, the way I've always defined it, even when you add to it, the parts that are older remain the same. Like, a song should be replicable.
Huh.
Not just sort of like you sort of improvising a rhythm based on our house band is every week.
This isn't a kind of song. What
kind of song is it?
It's a vocabulary song.
Okay. Hey, listeners, if you'd like to send us
Do you know
your...
anything at all about vocabulary songs?
Apparently nothing.
Adam, get the phone.
The phone?
Yeah, get the phone.
I really, really don't want to get the phone.
Yeah, the phone's ringing. Would you answer the fucking phone, please?
Oh, okay, hello?
Hey, Adam, this is Mike Boom Boom Bonifest. Man, you are totally right about the fucking song. It's gotta be, you gotta remember the song. You know, like, Born in the USA, or something like that. You know, it's AC/DC stuff. You are totally right.
Thank you, Mike.
Gee, how did she come up with a song like that? Jeez, she's a bitch.
Hey, Mike. Hey.
I didn't think
you were gonna go there again this time.
Yeah, are you married? I'm married, and I gotta tell you, that's the same sort of thing my wife would do. And I got your back, man. I got your back.
I don't want you to have my back.
I do. I have your back.
I want you not to call back, okay, Mike?
It's me, Adam. It's me, Mike. Boom, boom, boom.
For one thing, I can't even begin to tell you what your last name is. It sounds like you start with a B and then you end with like a face full of marbles.
Bump. No. Well, my teeth are a little big. It's, I'm hoping to be an actor. It's,
What's the name,
it's
Mike?
Me, Mike Boom Boom Bonifit.
Bonifit?
Bonifit. What's the matter with you?
It's like, man, a Bonifit concert?
Bonifit. Bonifit. I got your back, man. I got your back.
I don't want you to have my back at all, Mike.
I do. I have my back.
All right, Mike, I'm hanging up again, okay?
You got your
cover. Bye,
all right,
Mike.
Adam, call you back later. See ya.
Bye, click. Jesus Christ, I hope he doesn't call back. All right, now, listeners, if you have an opinion as strong as Mike's and you want to send us your original vocabulary song, we're at nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com. That's where we are. Coming up, Ogden Nash wrote this rhyme about chocolate. If some confectioners were willing to let the shape announce the filling, we'd encounter fewer assorted chocks bitten into and returned to the box. Ah, world-class confectioner Valerie Gordon will be with us to explain how to make fine candies that never get returned to the box. That's coming up when we return on Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. We're back. Paula, as all our listeners know, you were outraged when Butterfingers changed their recipe.
The entire country was outraged.
Well, you were.
When Butterfingers
changed.
And
you released a hip-hop single about it, Not My Butterfingers, which is available now on iTunes and Apple Music and Spotify and everywhere.
It's a social justice song that uses the Butterfinger incident as a springboard.
Yes. Yes, that is, in fact, exactly what it is. It's wonderful.
Thank you.
Now, a few weeks later, Bonnie Burns, your manager, a.k.a. Captain Crinkle, our producer, she and her daughter tried to make homemade Butterfinger. She found the recipe, said that she was going to make it for you. Now, if you remember, week one, her daughter, I guess, had a date or something. She was out of the house. Bonnie ate all the ingredients.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, right. Now, week two, what happened was they made it. But then she was very proud. She brought it in here, and it was just, I think the phrase I used to try to be genteel about it was fucking terrible.
Yeah. And I don't think that hurt her feelings in any way.
No. Well, she then tasted it and agreed that it was just awful.
She's solid as a rock.
And then we started probing into what could have gone wrong, and a couple of things happened. Number one, we found out that they didn't really find a candy thermometer. So they use what they think was a candy thermometer. I said it sounded like a meat thermometer to me. And then we found out that they skipped a couple of...
It turned out they used the kind, like a old one with mercury.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Like an old
possibly
glass
rectal
one.
I don't know, but it was not the right thermometer. Yeah. And then she was talking about how her friends were getting all hoity-toity about telling her how she shouldn't have skipped steps. and it turned out that Bonnie had, like, she was supposed to, like, heat up the peanut butter first and then add, I don't know what the other ingredient was, the chocolate or something. And then she was like, well, it's all going to be heated up, so why would I have to wait for the one to get hot before I added the other?
Yeah. What she did was she used the ingredients but not the recipe.
Yeah.
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 No,
she moved the gravestones, but she didn't move the bodies.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. She didn't use any verbs.
So we're going to probe into that, but we're also going to learn about the real art of candy making. We're going to find out what went wrong, and we're going to have an expert to tell us how things could go right. Valerie Gordon is the owner of Valerie's Confections. She founded Valerie's Confections in 2004 with her partner Stan Waitman Jr. Stan Waitman Jr. Don't confuse him with his dad. And she's one of LA's most celebrated chocolatiers. She was a James Beard finalist cookbook author for 2013 Sweet, and has gained national recognition for pushing the boundaries of her artisanal confections by collaborating with innovators in fields spanning fashion, design, and sustainability.
Sustainability.
Yes, please welcome Valerie Gordon.
Thank you, Valerie.
Welcome, Valerie.
Thank you, Adam, to have you here.
All right. So let's start with, we're going to do the good, the bad, and the ugly, but we're gonna mix up the order and go with the bad and the ugly and talk about Bonnie's Butterfingers here.
Let's, please.
Just to get it out of the way. Now, Bonnie, you told me you'd bring your so-called candy thermometer with you.
Can I see it, Bonnie?
Yeah. I'm almost certain I know what this is. But
this is an instrument.
It's an instrument.
So this is a candy thermometer.
It is.
Yeah. What?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to be frank with you.
She pulled it out of a butterball turkey.
This is a meat thermometer.
No, this is a candy thermometer.
Okay. It is.
And the reason why you can tell that it's a candy thermometer is that it goes past 300 degrees.
Oh.
And a meat thermometer doesn't go that high. And generally,
candy thermometer.
This is fine for a candy thermometer. You know, Bonnie, it's been so nice to get to know you here in the studio in the last 14 minutes as we've waved across to each other and shared a Maui chip. But it's a real cheap one, hon. Like, this is not...
I am impressed that it's the right substance.
Because what you want in a candy thermometer, you always want something that can clip onto the edge of a pot. Because that way you're hands-free and you can do things like stir. And stuff like that,
otherwise you just hold it in the mixture while it's heating?
This could be utilized as a candy thermometer, hypothetically, but this would make things incredibly difficult.
You'd have to be really good at making candies to use one of those.
It's just an ineffective tool. Okay. I think this is like a $9 thing. You know,
How much did you pay for it, Bonnie?
She didn't want to spend a lot of money on it.
No. Well, they were already in the hole from the week before when she ate the ingredients.
Yeah.
Got to work your way at somehow.
So there's Bonnie's Butterfinger recipe.
I think this recipe looks good. The one thing that I have noted, though, there's a very significant sort of shard-like texture to a Butterfinger, as I recall
it's
it.
It's a crispity, kind of explodes crunchy in your mouth.
Nougat. Yes.
It's not nougat.
It's not nougat.
Oh, my God. How have I not mentioned this to this point?
It's not nougat.
Would you back me up? It's not nougat.
No.
Thank you.
Adam.
Jesus. Paul and I have been arguing about this for a year.
Adam, get the phone.
I don't want to. I finally win an argument. I have to get the phone.
Answer the phone.
Hello.
Hey, Adam, it's me, Mike Boom Boom Bonifant. I gotta say, man, you are totally right about that. It's not nougat. What the fuck's the matter with her? It's not nougat. I'm so glad you have Valerie there to back you up, man. Me and Valerie got your back, Adam. Boy.
I'm glad I have Valerie here, Mike.
It's not nougat. Every time she says that, I scream at my computer. I am like, it's not fucking nougat, you bitch, I say.
Hey, Mike. Mike, that's just inappropriate. Paula is one of my best friends in the world, and I won't have you calling her that.
Yeah, that's good. Keep that up.
Yeah. All right, Mike,
you were right. You put up with so much shit from her.
No, but
you're totally right, man. You are totally right. You are so smart. Really.
Well, thank you, Mike.
You knew that wasn't nougat.
I'm really not enjoying having you as an ally. I gotta say, it makes me deeply uncomfortable.
Really? Yeah. Because you and me, we're like simpatico.
No, we're not, Mike.
No, we both knew, because I knew it wasn't nougat. You knew it wasn't nougat. Valerie knew it wasn't nougat. Fucking Poundstone. She kept saying nougat.
Man, I'm gonna hang up now.
You kept your cool, man. You kept your cool.
Yeah, Mike, why don't you go back to the garage and get back to work on that Trans Am? How's it coming?
Good.
All right, thank you, Mike.
All right, catch you later, Adam. Catch you later. Yeah, I'll see you tonight after the game.
No, we won't. Okay, Valerie, turning back to you, I apologize for that interruption. So we know it's not nougat.
It's definitely not nougat.
But it's like a crumbly, peanutty, crispity, crunchy thing that Paula loved.
Yes.
And do you think this recipe will get us there?
It's a different kind of
nougat. I think it could. I think it absolutely could get you there.
But you'd have to do something like follow the directions.
You would need to follow the directions, and you would need to get this out of this world. You would.
It's crazy talk.
Because if you add the peanut butter in with it, so the corn syrup and the sugar, essentially what you want to do is bring it all the way up to a hard crack stage, which is like 305.
A hard what? Hard crack
you
stage?
Hard crack. You know about
so
that.
You're
going to
get my manager arrested.
Yes. No, she's
bring it up to a hard crack stage. Those days are over, Valerie.
They're here in North Hollywood.
Yeah, that's right. Honestly, look at where we are.
I walked down the street, Paula
Poundstone. Did you hear that I lost my $1,000?
I did.
It's been spent already.
Yeah. You invited people to take your $1,000.
No, you know where my $1,000 are right now? It's in a hard crack stage.
Yeah. So you got to get the...
You got to get real hot.
Okay,
Before you add the peanut butter.
And Bonnie was like, well, we're making them all hot anyway. So why don't we put them in together? They never heated the peanut butter.
Oh, you just
put it in.
They never.
She's laughing.
They never heated the peanut butter.
just to make it delicious.
The other thing that she's not telling you is she got her oven. Mm-hmm. Was it oven or stove at Roger Federer's right up the street here?
And who was there? Who was there? Who'd you run into?
She saw Dame Maggie
there
Smith
we go.
on the street just before she went.
This is. Let's get back to candy, can we?
Yes. Yeah,
okay. So basically, we're saying Bonnie just. Well, we already knew Bonnie messed that recipe up.
Yeah, that sounds so good.
It was really terrible. Yeah. Bonnie, this is the time when you stop talking.
Okay.
Because you're not on a microphone. Bonnie just said okay, and then looked at Valerie and said, and then.
That's like.
And then she's talking again. Stop! Oh my God.
A couple weeks ago.
It's like turning on a spigot and then the washer falls off and you're just stuck.
Valerie, am I right that just the term confectioner means candy maker?
Pretty much.
Pretty much. What's different then? When you say pretty much, it sounds like there's one or two differences.
The term confectioner has become a little more wide sweeping. So someone who makes candy and, say, baked goods or other sweet items, that could all be grouped together under the umbrella of confectioner.
And a that Democrat? Would be appropriate. Is that the other thing that
always,
sweeps in?
Always. We're all Democrats.
They're all Democrats. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay,
kidding.
That's good. I'm so glad to have you.
Every one of us.
What's your favorite candy to make? And what is your secret to making it good?
A lot of fat. I think using a lot of fat is really, really important in
That's important in all cooking, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, my God, I love fat.
Because I don't
fat.
Make candy, but I make all kinds of dinner dishes. And it's, like, the more butter you add, it doesn't matter what else you're doing, the more people will like it.
I love making caramel of all forms, a liquid caramel, a firm caramel, a hard caramel that would turn into toffee.
A firm caramel, and a hard caramel.
Oh, you brought some caramels with you.
I brought candy.
Like, oh my God!
This is like confectioner sex talk.
Oh, I'm gonna want you to conduct this interview.
This is a liquid caramel. Eat that.
Oh,
it's good for you.
Oh my gosh, you guys! All right, so Valerie just handed us from her little
Adam's
confectioner
like
box.
What do you got for me?
A beautiful sort of
toffee. I like a good toffee.
Trapezoidal
shape.
That's
a bonbon.
It's a bonbon. I've always wondered what a bonbon was.
Here, eat this.
You'll like
it.
You know, I know a guy named Mike
Bonafit.
That
looks like toffee with a little bit of sea salt on top.
It is.
Okay, I've got a toffee here.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm. So the secret to that caramel, which I find satisfying.
It's a liquid caramel inside the chocolate, right?
Yeah.
And you made it?
Yeah.
That was delicious.
Thank you.
This toffee is ridiculous.
Thank you.
Yeah. This is so ridiculously good.
Yeah.
Eat the whole box. Have fun.
Like, I'm trying
to help run a show.
I'm super happy with these Hawaiian Sweet Maui onion chips, I gotta tell
you. The likelihood is that I won't leave this room tonight.
Just stay here.
I'll just stay here eating these chocolates.
There's an all-nighter vibe going on here for sure.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. You're good at this.
Adam owes Mike a call.
I'm not going to call Mike.
So he's probably going to call him later.
Talk to us about the sustainability as that was part of your intro here.
Because mine had some... what are those called? The things you put on the roof that the sun shines on?
Solar panels?
The chocolate I just had
solar panels in it.
Oh, well, I hope so, like energetically.
Really? Because I thought I detected a hint of panda in mine.
So we try to be very responsible in how we purchase and how we use.
Okay. Oh, I love
that.
Yes. You don't use the child harvested cocoa from
just
other countries?
Just a little bit, but that's okay. They're my children.
Sure.
I mean, I shipped them so we could, you know, get them real cheap. But they're mine. I birthed them. It's cool. You know, we use all biodegradable packaging. We get all of our, because we do a lot of fruit-based pastries and cakes, we get all of it from the local farmer's market. We do all that kind of good stuff.
That's great.
We try to be as responsible as we can.
I love that.
It's a goal. But it's always, there's always, you know.
It's hard to do.
It's hard.
It's, really
it's hard.
Sure,
and it's the more expensive way to do it.
Yeah.
But, you know.
What did I? That
you gotta
chocolate
live.
That I
you
just
gotta
had
live
with
integrity.
The liquid caramel. What was that? Yeah. What would that retail for? Like $50?
That chocolate is $3
a piece.
Yeah.
Wow. We're sitting on a gold mine here.
Yeah.
There's more money worth of chocolate here than we make on this podcast.
And folks really like it.
Oh,
it's my
fantastic.
Gosh!
Yeah.
Really
oh, it's
delicious.
So good.
Really delicious. Okay, so the secret to making good is, but that's interesting that you say fat because my mother's from the South and there's not anything she ever made that didn't begin with like a big chunk of fat back.
All right,
that's how everything began.
Totally.
She would make a wedding cake with that.
I mean, that's why everything in restaurants tastes better.
Yeah,
when you get like a delicious steak, it's because it's cooked in butter or something wonderful like that. You know, when you get the pasta,
that's why beef cows will not roll in butter. Because that they know that makes them
that's
up
right.
next on the chopping block.
That's absolutely right. What am I eating right here?
That's a truffle.
She doesn't even know what that is. That's off the floor.
That's a boozy truffle.
Yeah, it's a little boozy.
That's a stout truffle.
Oh,
so that's infused with reduced stout beer, like a lot of it.
Oh, my gosh. You're not going to be able to drive home from that truffle.
I think I'll be okay.
No, you're going to get pulled over because of that truffle.
No, it's a very small truffle.
No, you're gonna get fucked up from that truffle.
I don't think you can get fucked up from this truffle.
Adam, get the phone. Adam, answer the phone.
No. All right.
Please.
Hello?
Hey, Adam, it's me, Mike Boom Boom Bonifant. Hey, man, do you got any more of those truffles?
No, Mike, you've had enough.
Yeah, I just love a beer truffle like that. That's fantastic, man. You know what? You're right, you can handle it. I heard Paul Poundstone telling you shouldn't have that. You're totally right, man. You can handle it. You can handle it. Because I've seen you fucked up before, and you handled it really good.
When have you seen me?
You know, when we hang out after the game.
We've never hung out, Mike.
We have hung out, and I love you. I think you were so great.
Wow.
I so agree with you. And you really handle that. Like, right now, you're on the beer truffle right now.
I'm not on it. I had it. It was stout, for one thing.
It was stout.
Which I guess is a kind of beer, yes.
Yeah,
but
Exactly. You're right, man. You are right.
Mike, I never want to talk to you again, okay?
What do you mean?
I would like you to stop calling.
What do you mean?
I mean, I don't think we're friends, and I don't think you and I have the same values.
Hey, Adam, so are you busy? Is that what it is? You're busy right now?
Yeah, Mike, I'm busy.
Okay, all right. I'll call you back later.
You don't have to.
I'll call you back later. You were totally right, man. You're totally right. I love Valerie and I love you, but Paul Poundstone's a bitch.
Stop that. Jesus, that guy. All right. Now, Paula, you bought sheets of chocolate once.
Sheets of chocolate?
You
what
did.
Is sheets
I
of
did.
Chocolate?
Oh, I bought this. They were advertising in a plastic bag. It was to make chocolate-covered strawberries, and they came. There's these like square sheets of chocolate, and I don't have a double boiler, and that was in the rest. You know, you were supposed to use
a double
boiler.
No wonder Bonnie's your manager.
So,
do you cook together frequently?
No, we haven't. We've never cooked together.
I mean, you should.
Sometime. That would localize
we're
the
whole
damage.
Separate podcast. Whole separate part. Well, with the fires and all, it's not a good idea. So what I did was I put water in a saucepan because I have a saucepan.
Okay.
And then I took a metal measuring cup and I floated it in there with the with the chocolate in
it.
Yes.
That's like a great idea.
It didn't work out at all.
No.
Yeah. No. It smushed the strawberry. I had to kind of, it was like a paste. It never really melted.
So the next time you do an at-home experiment, you and Bonnie, when you're like having a sleepover and you're like, oh my God, let's make some candy.
Yeah.
Use your microwave.
A microwave?
Just put the chocolate in the microwave.
Oh.
I know.
Didn't even occur to me.
There's Mike an said. Element
That's weird,
to this
because
particular...
you can get a good microwave right over, like diagonally from here.
Oh my God.
Roger Federer as a... appliance store.
Yeah, you have to push past Judi Dench though.
Dame.
Judi Dench she's not a customer. She was in front of there earlier this evening, spinning one of those big arrow signs.
No.
She can't count on acting forever, Paula.
Well, have you seen her teeth? Of course, she can't count on acting.
Tiny teeth.
Oh my God.
Anyway,
sorry.
There's
Valerie,
an element to this interview that's a little bit like inviting Neil deGrasse Tyson on to teach kindergarten science. Because I don't feel like you and Bonnie are really at a level where you can take a lot of advice here other than put chocolate
sure
in the
can.
Microwave.
Okay,
really?
Sure
absolutely.
Can.
Put the chocolate in the microwave. That's
you didn't
great.
Taste those
That's
Butterfingers.
Great advice. Uh-huh.
Part of me never left that room.
All right, let me ask you this. Do you make a lot of money as a confectioner?
Confection making is a profitable industry.
Is it really? Because I sell cat toys.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, for one, you don't yet.
No, I did.
No, at this moment.
Over the weekend, I sold cat toys.
What was the name
of
your cat toy company? There's so many names that
just
come to mind.
We didn't name it. The only name on the table is one that Paula doesn't want to name it, which was...
I think it was Poundstone
Paula's
Pussy
Pillows.
Yeah, it's
gotta
be. Not a good idea at all.
Yeah.
He came up with that.
It was on top of my head.
You know who thought it was great?
Who? No, I don't want to know. Not falling for that. Let's keep moving.
listener. It's Zach Harper, Amin El-Hassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain.
We're trying to ascertain?
Yes.
Okay. Ascertain.
Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produced this show. I also watch the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertain. This month is...
Whoa!
Oh, Maze, why do you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
McCavity! I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it?
Okay, I think we got it.
Cinephobe.
Wherever you get podcasts.
A detective came and knocked on the door, and I said, is it Renee? And he just gave me that solemn look.
It was the worst day ever.
The Proof Podcast is back with a new case and a new season. 23 years ago, 18-year-old Renee Ramos went missing. Her body was later found in an empty Home Depot building on the edge of town.
I don't think that they arrested the right people. It's about time somebody's trying to do something.
She had a black eye about 2 weeks before she was murdered.
They are involved. They definitely had her body and her backpack.
You know people are going to judge you, right?
Of course. They're judging me now. They've been judging me damn near my whole life.
You can listen now to season 2 of Proof, wherever you get your podcasts, and follow along with us as we reinvestigate the murder at the warehouse.
I have to ask, did you kill Renee?
Okay, what do all these funny people have in common? Cecily Strong, Jason Manzoukas, Duncan Trussell, Paul Scheer, Scott Aukerman, Beth Stelling, Tom Papa, Lauren Lapkus, Louis Anderson, Lisa Gilroy, Paul F. Tompkins, and Sir Patrick Stewart. They've all played characters on the hit comedy podcast Mega, an improvised satire from the staff of a fictional megachurch. The next time you're in the mood for some laughs, great guests, out-of-this-world improv and cultural commentary, we're here for you, baby. Listen to Mega anywhere you listen to podcasts.
But the point is that you haven't actually made these cat toys yet. You just have a garage full of catnip.
That's not true. I made some cat toys. I sold 20 over the weekend.
You did?
Are you serious? The first night that I sold them, I sold 20. They were sold out halfway through the meet and greet.
How did you make them?
Well, Wendell did it.
Your assistant Wendell sewed together like a toy full of catnip and drew stuff on it?
I have this little factory.
And when you say factory, do you mean your kitchen?
No, my son's old bedroom.
Okay.
Wendell's in
and
there.
And Wendell literally sewed cat toys together?
He did.
Wow.
Yeah, and then he figured out a way to...
How much are you charging for your cat toys?
$12. He figured out a way to...
I feel like that's undervalued. That's less than a caramel.
He figured out
less
a way
than 4 caramels.
To blow the catnip into the pouch before he sews it up.
Blew it?
Yeah, he made a hose and he blew it in. Is this helping you at all, Valerie, with these ideas?
Enormously. I feel guided.
You want to make
do.
Chocolates? Here's another important question, Valerie. I don't know, Tom Hanks, who I've invited on the show, and wow, says...
This show has become such a marvel of cobbled together fictions.
No. Tom Hanks says that he will do the show, but he's asked for a couple of things. He's asked that Mrs. Culpepper not wear her ruby sateen dress.
You haven't met Mrs. Culpepper yet.
Which has been a sticking point. And also he's asked that Adam wear an Argyle sweater.
Which I am willing to do.
That would be adorable.
Sweater vest, I think.
Yeah, sweater vest. Argyle sweater vest. And he's also asked that we provide pettifors instead of junk food.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't even know what pettifors are.
I can help you with that part.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect. Okay, here we go.
For sure.
I'm so anxious to hear about it.
Oh, look, it's Mrs. Culpepper.
I guess I'm the last holdout because I will not truckle to Tom Hanks.
I guess.
I'm going to wear my ruby sateen dress.
You don't wear anything, Mrs. Culpepper. You're denuded hand puppet.
That's a calumny.
A calumny?
It's a damnable calumny.
All right. Well, I'm glad you're here. Would you like some chocolate, Mrs. Culpepper?
I would indeed enjoy some chocolate.
I believe this one's filled with a milk chocolate over here.
I try to avoid dairy products.
Why do you try to avoid dairy products, Mrs. Culpepper?
I try to avoid dairy products, Adam, because Captain Culpepper
passed away.
Oh, your husband, the late Captain Culpepper.
Yes, exactly. It's a tragic memory. He was a victim of tyrotoxism.
Tyrotoxism.
Which is poisoning from cheese or other dairy products.
Oh, I'm quite familiar with tyrotoxism.
Tyrotoxism.
Right, and I hate to dredge up bad memories.
It is a painful memory.
Yeah. Because, you know, from what I understand, it's a grotesque way to die that involves convulsions and vomiting.
There was a lot of that.
Yeah, okay. I don't want you to come on here and just feel like you're being subjected to this really painful memory.
Oh, it is a painful memory.
I think the
memory.
Vomiting eventually succumbs when they lose consciousness, right?
And if lost consciousness. And then eventually. Captain Culpepper. Yeah. Captain Culpepper.
Yeah.
And his eyes had rolled back in his head and the damnable calumny of Gouda remained on his lips. Adam, it was the Gouda that got him.
Well, I'm sorry to make you relive that, Mrs. Culpepper.
So I cannot have the milk chocolate that has been presented.
Well,
to
then maybe Paula can eat it for you, Mrs. Culpepper.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, now that we're on the third layer of digression from the original question, let's talk about petty fours.
Yeah, what's a petty four?
Pedophores are little cakes.
Little cakes.
Little cakes. Right. So our current, I think, definition of pedophores are little layer cakes that are covered with either fondant or chocolate
What was the first thing?
Fondant, which is sort of a solidified sugar confection.
My daughter loves that stuff. She loves pedophores because of that.
Your daughter's
marzipan.
Had pedophores?
Yeah.
Huh.
You thought you were going somewhere with that.
No, who gives their kid petty fours?
They're just little cakes. And
they're
she likes
cakes.
Fondant a lot.
They like
Why
them.
On earth would Tom Hanks have to have petty fours? Why would he have to have little cakes? He's not man enough to have a big cake?
You don't have to answer that.
I don't get it, Tom Hanks. I don't get it.
Hanks seems very sensitive to me.
He's not making these demands.
No.
Honestly, he's not.
No, the guy said, yeah, I'll do
was
the
it
show.
Was it Rita Wilson who made the demands?
No, oh.
was it really her?
As far as I know, it was Tom Hanks. Okay. And he said, he said he'd be happy to do the show, but not without pedophores.
That's a short list.
So far.
Yeah.
Seems like every time we fulfill one item on the list, there's another one there. Yeah.
Well,
it's almost like Paula's not really talking to him and instead adding these conditions week after week.
He didn't just tell me I had to have Botox in my lips. He didn't just tell me that.
Did he?
He did.
In your lips?
Yeah. He said I have to have Botox injections in my lips.
To make them fuller?
Yeah. He wanted me to have fuller lips.
Tom Hanks did this.
Yes.
You see, he's such a nice guy.
Nicest guy in the world. So this shit he's pulling, I don't get it. I don't get it at all.
All right.
The guy's not man enough to have a big cake. He's going to have petty forts.
Oh, my God.
You know who's going to want to talk to him?
I do, and I don't want him to.
Now, what kind of candy do you eat when the candy isn't yours? Like, will you eat somebody else's candy?
I will.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. And what kind do you like? Do candy people get together?
Or
rivalrous?
I don't. I feel like folks do what they do. I do what I do.
That's
it's all
you're
fine.
The top
like
of the food
if you were to
it's
meet,
all fine.
If you were to meet Mr. Mason from Mason Dots, would you just, you know.
Mason Dots?
Yeah.
You mean the candy dots?
Yeah. Mason Dots.
Okay.
It's the name of the company, okay. Mason's Dots.
That is a curious product, isn't it?
It's a really weird product.
It's really weird.
I don't know. Gummy bears took over the country, and they're very similar to gummy bears.
I love
bears.
No, it's different because those
dots
little
are
dots
are kind of crunchy.
But they're also
they're
adhered
crunchy.
To a piece of paper.
Yes.
No, they're not. You're thinking of something else.
No, we're
Mason
both thinking
dots
of those
are
dots.
In the box at
oh,
the movie
those,
theater.
Of
they're
course.
Kind of like gummy
Thank
bears.
Thank you. I'm so sorry.
No, I like the points that were stuck to paper.
Like a cousin to the jujube.
Precisely.
Yes. Thank you. Okay, got it. I'll accept a dot. I like a dot.
Okay.
I love all sour gummy things.
I guess my question was, do you feel
rivalrous
of Mr. Mason?
No, I support his efforts.
There you go. Yeah. All right, so.
What else? What chocolate bars will you eat?
What chocolate bars will I eat? If
she
I'm
turned
gonna
her
go,
nose up at the Kit Kat that we
yeah,
had here.
She said it was waxy. And
hers
were
gross.
Her lip actually curled.
Yeah.
And in a way that mine won't
chuffed
if
it
Tom
right
Hanks
over
gets
here.
His way. Did you throw it away?
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
She had a taste of it.
It's important that you know that Valerie is quite fit.
Yes.
So whatever. So she's bulimic. think that goes without saying.
This is how you treat a guest.
Only a little bit.
You know, Valerie, we're very open
just
here.
A little bit.
We're very open.
It's clearly
a space
of sharing.
But you just simply couldn't eat all these treats and look how you looked. So.
You don't want that in your mouth, though. You don't want that Kit Kat in your mouth. So as far as like grocery store candy bars, if I had to choose, I would go with Cadbury.
Cadbury's great. The dairy milk bar itself is
and the flaky. The flaky is divine.
The flake. It's a flaky English bar.
Yes.
In fact, in England, they serve it stuck into a scoop of vanilla ice cream.
Yep.
And it's
and as I clearly suffer from an eating disorder, it's almost not there. I mean, the flake is like the thinnest, almost like shaving of chocolate that's been wound into this circular, almost tube that repeats on itself. And it's just light as air. It almost doesn't exist.
Huh. Yeah.
It's so satisfying.
Sort of like a milk dud?
It's like a chocolate stalactite.
I would define that as
it's nothing like a milk dud.
Heavy.
It's nothing at all like...
What I hear you saying, I've been to a lot of therapy. What I hear you saying, it's like a milk dud.
No, absolutely the opposite of a milk dud.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. That doesn't sound appealing at all to me, a light flake.
Ian's British and Ian likes the flake. He's sitting over here in the corner
Ian's
nodding.
Ian's from an island that has some great candy
so
bars.
So excited. It's
something that features the Lion Bar, which is one of my favorites.
One half of our first clack, Ian Hall.
Yeah.
And his wife, Debbie Petty Four.
Derryberry.
Oh, Debbie Derryberry.
Yeah.
It's an absurd name.
Well, she does cartoon voices.
Yeah, Debbie Derryberry. Yeah.
Good name for that.
Tell me she didn't make that up.
Okay, how about Lindt chocolates, like the Lindor stuff and stuff? Because I'm a big
chocolates?
Fan.
Lindt chocolates? Can you do that?
Them.
Can you dip Lindt in
no,
a chocolate
it's, no, it's
and make
Lindt,
it?
No, it's Lindt, L-I-N-D-T.
Because
it's a Zurich-based
Swiss confectionery. I could be rich.
Swiss
I could be goddamn rich. How about Dust Bunny chocolate? Can you do Dust Bunny chocolate?
Jesus Christ, Paula Poundstone.
I could be rich. Yeah.
So there is a really good Lindt bar that has bits of your favorite confection, nougat, in it. There's little pieces of nougat in
apparently
a Lindt
what
bar.
I like is not nougat.
Because, well, you're confused about what nougat is.
I like what's inside the Butterfinger, which is...
That's not nougat.
It's a nougat. It's a kind of nougat.
It is not a kind of nougat.
That's why I like it, because I like nougat.
She loves nougat.
Yeah.
That's... different.
I do. I love nougat.
Yeah.
Anything full of nougat. I mean, if I want to say to somebody that I'm really fond of them, you know, like I'll say to Adam, you know, you are just full of nougat.
And you are full of shit.
Adam, get the
In
phone.
In every way. I'm not getting the
Adam,
phone.
Adam, you answer can, the phone.
I don't
want to
answer
ringing.
The phone.
Adam, the phone is ringing.
I'm
Would
not
you answer?
Answering the phone.
Answer the phone.
No.
Can I answer it?
Yeah. Yeah, Valerie, go ahead.
Wait,
answer
no.
the phone. Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah. Hey, Valerie, it's me, Mike. Boom, 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 boom.
Mike, it's you.
Yeah, it's good to talk to you, Valerie. Well, you tell Adam that I said he is fucking right. What he just said, he's so right. Yeah. And the whole man, why is she pushing with the nougat thing? I don't get it. Nougat, nougat, nougat. I don't get it. She's a bitch.
Michael. No. Bad Mike. Bad.
Hey, Adam, I gotta go, man. I'm busy. Like you, I'm busy.
Oh, yeah. Go work on that sweet ride, Mike.
Yeah. Oh, it's coming along. It's coming along. I'm tuning it up. Adam, can I borrow your funny
Mike,
guy?
No.
Hey, man, let me ask you something. Do you have any beer cozies you're not using?
I don't have any beer cozies at all, Mike.
No, wait, you gave away all your beer cozies.
I've never owned a beer cozy.
You are the most generous guy I've ever known, man. Oh. You gave your beer cozies probably to like some kids organization or something, man. You are so cool. I got your back, man. I got your back.
I don't want you to have my back. And should I have had beer cozies at any time, I would not have donated them to a kids organization. That seems like the wrong thing to do.
Why not, man? A lot of kids around the world are too poor to have beer cozies.
Yeah, but they're also too kids to have beer.
Yeah, but they gotta have something to look forward to. You
Goodbye,
gotta give
Mike.
Them hope, man. You Mike. Gotta give the kids hope. And the way you give them hope is you give them a beer cozy when they're a kid. And you say to them, you look them right in the eye, man. You kneel down and you look them right in the eye and go, someday you're gonna put a can in this.
Mike,
yeah.
I just don't like you.
I don't think I know what you mean, man. I don't think I know what you mean.
I mean like you?
Yeah, you and me, man. We Three Musketeers. You and me and Valerie, we're Three Musketeers. We're like fluffy, not stuffy, man.
We're moving on, Mike.
All right. I'll see you later, man. I'll see
you
after the
game. No, you won't.
Yeah. Valerie, I'll see you. I'm gonna pick
you up. Just hang up, Mike.
Valerie, I'm going to pick you up on my ride when I get it finished, man.
Sweet. I'll be outside.
Yeah. All
I'll
right,
be on Miranda.
You're going to be waiting a long time.
She's the best. It's good to see you get a little something on the side, Adam.
What the? Just go, Mike. Just go. All right. Paula, do you have anything else
to
ask?
All right, man. I'll talk to you later.
Bye, Mike.
Yeah, Valerie. What's the hardest candy to make?
Ooh. The hardest, you know, here's a weird one. Nougat is kind of hard to make. I'm not even kidding.
You have to whip it up to the right texture, and yeah.
It's very time sensitive,
yeah.
And getting the precise texture that you want on it,
yeah,
is hard.
The Butterfinger people couldn't even do it anymore.
I know.
Ever. Because it wasn't. But no, I mean, like, sometimes when I've had quality nougat, like they somehow get those nuts suspended in there.
Yes.
And that's got to be hard.
It's hard to get equal dispersion of ingredients and to maintain like the perfect texture.
Okay.
It is.
So wait a minute. Equal dispersion of ingredients. What do you mean
like,
by that?
So that they're all sort of evenly, so that when you see a cross section of nougat,
yeah.
So you have it sort of even that all of the ingredients, like the nuts and the fruits and things,
yeah,
aren't sort of clustering in one part of it.
Oh.
And I know, don't you hate
that's
that?
That's awful.
The worst.
Yeah.
It's like if you were making a lasagna and all your sausage is in one corner of it.
Yeah.
It sucks.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
It's horrible.
Yeah. All right. Now, if a listener, say there was a listener, and they wanted to make a candy for the first time,
mm-hmm,
what's a good candy for them to start with?
A good candy for them to start with? I think marshmallows are pretty easy to make. And caramel is actually easy to make. If I'm doing a beginning sort of candy class.
Uh-huh. Oh, you teach classes?
Sometimes.
You said if I'm
that
doing
that was so
it.
Mysterious the way you said it. Is that how you are with your students?
Like
they go, well, when is class? And you go, I'm not telling
you.
Know.
We'll see.
So we'll it's really kind of catch as catch can. You might be in teaching and you might not.
Maybe not.
I love that. Maybe a great college model. But, all right, so when you're teaching, you teach caramel?
Caramel is an easy confection to start with. Mm-hmm. A basic truffle.
Yeah.
Is a really easy thing to start with too. So
that
all you
surprises
need,
me.
Yeah, but all you need is solid chocolate.
Solid
so see, you get some good quality chocolate.
Yeah.
You heat cream to boil, turn off the heat, pour it over, and you stir it together, and you've essentially got a truffle filling.
Wow.
And then you can roll that in cocoa powder or something like that, and you've got a truffle.
Bonnie could do that. She just wouldn't go through those steps.
No. She would want to reinterpret that.
No.
Yeah.
She would put the chocolate and the cream in a bucket.
Yeah.
Right,
and put
exactly
that bucket in the sun.
Yeah.
And then bring it to me.
Yeah.
Say, here's your truffles.
Yeah.
Bonnie doesn't want all the limitations, though. Bonnie is a free spirit.
Bonnie should be cooking savory stuff.
Yeah.
She should not be following directions.
But Bonnie's got a lot going on.
Oh,
she's
yeah.
She's got a lot
oh,
to yeah. express.
Oh, I thought you meant like a lot of problems. Yeah. I think both things are true. A lot going on. A lot to express. A lot of pent up.
Bonnie, what does your t-shirt say? It says, I'm just here so I won't get fired. What is that?
It's a reference to a football player.
Yeah.
So I won't get fined.
I'm just here so I won't get fined.
Fined.
24, Marshawn Lynch. That's a...
Yeah. Bonnie's...
He wore that shirt once and Bonnie thought it was a great show of defiance, right? No. It's too long to explain.
Bonnie says...
Which is always what you should look for in a t-shirt.
Yeah. Bonnie's recently taken an interest in watching men bang their brains out. Yeah.
That's so fun.
Yeah. Bonnie, answer the phone.
No. No, that would create a black hole from which none of us would ever emerge. I will not have Bonnie talking to Mike.
Oh.
Well, Valerie, thanks for sweetening our day. And Paula, given the vast amount of knowledge you've just absorbed, what do you have to tell us about making confections at home?
House band Dave Lewis, could you give me a little background music? You have won a Valerie's chocolates, and it ruined every candy on our table. She basically told us that we put shit into our kids' Halloween bags, Christmas stockings, and candy bowls. She made us feel towards our candy the way Lassie, the heroic TV dog, made us feel about our family dog who doesn't come when he's called and sticks his nose in everybody's crotch. The key to good baking is fat, she said. Like we couldn't have guessed that. Nougat is an aerated egg-based confection. I think she said that the original Butterfinger had a different kind of nougat. But she said it really quietly, and you might not have heard it. Petit fours are little cakes with layers of fondant. Adam, answer the phone.
Hello?
This is Mike Boom Boom Butterfinger. Tom Hanks, this is Mike Boom Boom Butterfinger. Tom Hanks, why do you need little cakes, man? Be a man. Eat a big cake. Eat a big fucking cake, Tom Hanks.
Wow, that was a well summed up there, Paula and Mike. Valerie Gordon is the owner of Valerie Confections. You can find her at valerieconfections.com. You can buy her book over there. Sweet. When we come back, we hear from you. We've got show descriptions. Plus, we'll tell you about an amazing video version of Not My Butterfinger produced by Inclusion Center in Brattleboro, Vermont. That's coming up right after this.
Adam, you didn't hang up the phone yet.
The cat of the week is Coco Puff from Estero, Florida.
Skip the meat and eat some greens. Put down your screens. I'd like to bring back the telephone booth. We deserve the truth.
We deserve the truth.
We deserve the truth.
We deserve the truth.
Stop worrying about how much peanut butter. At the top, we've got a gold-plated nutter. We deserve the truth.
We deserve the truth.
We deserve the truth. Some things need to change. Some
wow, that's a clip from your hip-hop number, Paula, Not My Butterfinger. And I wanted to direct listeners, this is kind of amazing, to check out a great video to this song. It was produced by the Inclusion Center in Brattleboro, Vermont. It's a free drop-in center for people with disabilities, medical concerns, and interested community members. And they made a Not My Butterfingers video that you can see at inclusioncenter.webs.com.
It is fantastic.
It is. It is. Of all the fan-generated content, that is it's mightily impressive. So thanks again to our friends at the Inclusion Center for your great work. During the break...
Whistleblower! Whistleblower! It is I, French Trump!
Oh, look, everybody, it's French Trump.
I am looking for you, whistleblower! It is I, French Trump. I didn't do it. It is okay to do it, and I will do it again. He did it!
French Trump, welcome. This is our indistinguishable physically from Mrs. Culpepper hand puppet.
We may have some similar DNA.
Yes.
But it is I, French Trump.
Now, what were you saying when you first arrived? It sounded like we sell blowers.
Pardon me. I have to switch the Russian oligarch money from the washer to the dryer. I will be right back.
So you, French Trump, you were literally laundering money.
I am. I am laundering the Russian oligarch money.
Okay, well, French Trump, that's
we
not how you...
We sell blowers.
We sell blowers?
I am looking for you.
A whistleblower.
We sell blowers. I'm looking for you, whistleblower. Was it you, Adam Felber? Are you the whistleblower?
I want to say two things, Mr. French Trump.
We?
Number one, no.
And you are not the whistleblower?
No, and it would be illegal for me to admit it. You can't. You're not allowed to ask me that. And number two...
I did ask you.
I know you did.
I have executive privilege.
That's not what executive privilege is.
It is. No, I am the executive and I am privileged.
That's true.
I can ask you whatever I want.
I am almost certain.
I hate Pierre Delecto.
You hate Pierre Delecto?
Pierre Delecto. I love him.
Oh, you mean
him.
Mitt Romney's alter ego.
Oui.
Isn't that weird? Mitt Romney, it turns out, has a French...
A French
alter ego.
Alter ego.
Which
Imagine
we pioneered
that.
First on this show.
Yeah, Pierre Delecto copies me.
Yeah, we can do it
ditto.
First.
He is a ditto of me.
A ditto?
A ditto. I did not do it. I did do it. It's okay to do it. I will do it again. Look what he did. It is French Trump.
French Trump. You've inserted...
I killed Baghdaddy with my bare hands.
No, you didn't.
And I killed Bag Mommy as well.
That was not her name. My God,
was,
French Trump.
It was her name, Baghdaddy and Bag Mommy.
No, Baghdaddy's name was because he came, it was Al Baghdaddy because he came from the city of Baghdad.
No, from a band from the 60s, the Baghdaddies
and
the
Bag
Mommies.
Of course.
From yeah. the Bag Mommy Cass. She was saying the
Bag
songs
Mommy
about
Cass?
California, yeah. who I will not help. I will not help California. What? I am French Trump, and I will not help California.
Well, why? Why wouldn't you help us? You're the president of the United States.
It does not matter. They are very too far to the left.
Too far to the left.
They are too far to the left.
They're still your constituents.
Not my constituents. We should blow away.
Now, the other point I want to make is I'm almost
looking
certain.
For you, whistleblower.
I can't think of a single place in France where they would say whistleblower with that accent.
Whistleblower.
Well, you keep looking,
Adam,
French truck.
Adam, will you do me a favor, though?
You're looking very sly at the moment.
Will you do me a favor, though?
I would have to know
Adam,
what the favor is.
Will you investigate Joe Biden?
Joe Biden? No,
and
I won't.
His son, Hunter Biden.
Hunter?
Hunter Biden. Could you investigate them?
No.
You're very negative.
It's that simple.
Minus, 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 whistleblower.
Well, you know, I think I saw the whistleblower out on Miranda Street.
You. Is it Dame Maggie Smith?
It could be.
Are you accusing Dame Maggie Smith of being the whistleblower?
I'm saying you should go and ask her.
I'm not going out there right now.
not a
It is my
puppet.
Executive privilege.
Can I talk to
Paula? Stay here.
Because we're so, yeah.
Adam?
Yes.
Hi.
Are you ready to move on to
I'm
our next
ready.
Segment? But before we do, I'm going to digress because something happened.
Where could you be?
The French truck, I'm going to need to speak to Paula.
Yes.
Okay. So yeah. during the break.
Yeah. During the break.
We were discussing some of our listener mail.
Yeah.
And listener apparently mail. we received some kind of complaint.
Yeah.
And we were talking about it. And complaints happen from time to time. And we often address them on the show. And then Bonnie Burns, Captain Crinkle, was talking about it and saying that she tries to answer all the complaints and wait, don't tell me
She's
does as well.
She's using a wait, don't tell me model. Of answering
all
of
complaints.
Responding to all the complaints,
and then
which
she,
I think
she,
is great.
And then she told the group that, like, they wait, literally looks into every complaint. And then she said, like, off the top of her head, for instance, if some listener complained that they caught Adam Felber masturbating in a Kentucky airport bathroom, they would take it seriously and look into it.
Yeah.
Whereas, that just like rolled off her tongue. Yeah.
I think it's a perfectly good example.
It's not a perfectly good. It's you know what it is? It's a perfectly weird example. I don't feel comfortable sitting next to Bonnie right now.
Yeah.
Because like the first
because
thing
you
that
feel
pop-
more comfortable in the bathroom in Kentucky.
No! It's a calumny. A damnable calumny.
Yeah. No, it was a weird example.
It was a little bit
yeah,
weird, right?
It was a weird example.
And then
Let me ask you, when were you in Kentucky?
I was. You know, I did a wait in Louisville.
So I heard.
No, you didn't. All right, let's move on. Okay, now we've been asking people to send in descriptions of the show because, Paula, as we've established, you...
I am not good at describing the show. Like when I'm interviewed sometimes for a magazine or newspaper or radio, I just... Or when I'm on stage, I tell people about the podcast when I'm on stage
well,
all the time. But I don't think I get even one person to go click on the podcast when I describe it.
Well, here, let's do a test. Describe the show to me.
Here's how
Paula,
I say it.
What is Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone about? Go
this
ahead.
Is after people have listened to me on stage for like 2 hours.
Okay,
I got
the setup.
I go, oh, by the way, I have a podcast. So you know already they're not like longing to hear my voice again.
They're
They've
assuming
been listening
it's a long
for
podcast.
Two
yeah.
hours. So yeah. I say, I have a podcast. And then I go, it's me and my partner, Adam Felber. And it's funny. It's a comedy podcast. We do have, you know, there's information. Sometimes, like we had a plumber.
Why do you have a mental block with this? You can't
I just
describe
am not
what
good.
We do.
No, well, how would you describe it?
I'm not really good at it either. Which is why we're getting help
from
our listeners.
That's why you're in there thinking in the Kentucky airport.
Thinking is what I was doing.
Yeah.
So here's a suggestion for log lines for our show. Here's one. An hour of tangential comedy and maybe help with a crossword clue or two. Brandon Barrack.
Crossword clue.
Yeah. Huh. That's good. That's good.
Yeah. That's excellent. Here, two listeners sent in haikus. Here's Joshua Garrett's. Paul is a genius. Bonnie crinkles. Adam's there. Nobody listens.
Interesting. That's a good haiku.
That's beautiful. Yeah, that woke up the clack.
I'm not sure it's a classic one, but okay.
Yeah, they're so stoned right now. And here's one by Rebecca Throop.
Yeah, go ahead.
A nobody, I. Laughing till I pee. Can't listen and drive.
Interesting. You know, I'm not familiar with that all five syllable haiku format, but I'm sure it's valid and it sure sounds nice.
No, I'll tell you what. As soon as these go on the podcast,
yeah,
our ratings and the amount of listeners we have in Japan are going to soar.
Absolutely.
The way they have in Moldova.
How are we doing in Japan? Andrew Shore sent in a description that's a bit long to be called short, but I'll share it here. A quasi-legal marketing scheme that gives away postage-due hotel soap in a thinly veiled ruse of never-ending contests to acquire user-generated content on the cheap in order to shill suitcases, impossibly soft T-shirts, and cat litter.
You know,
ouch, Andrew.
I can say, Andrew, you nailed it. You really, you know, the others kind of nibbled around the edges, but you really seem to have gotten the essence of the
Absolutely,
entire thing.
Yeah.
Boy, there is no pulling the blanket over Andrew's head.
Yeah. It's onto our scam.
Pete.
By the way, keep sending in those theme songs, Andrew.
I don't know how Peter pronounces his last name. I believe it's Huda. Peter.
It's Segers.
Segers, which I would pronounce that Huda. Peter Huda wrote, nobody listens to Paula Poundstone is where the eternal forces of chaos and order clash, personified by Paula Poundstone and Adam Felber, respectively.
Wow. Boy, I love that.
That's fantastic. He could be writing for Star Trek. That is good.
Yeah. But we have to learn how to pronounce your name. So please send us another email, Peter, because I'm sure we butchered that. Now, Paula, you're going to be out on the road in the coming weeks, I hear, and probably you... could use one of those descriptions at a gig. Which gig are you going to?
You know, I hate promoting myself. It's the one part of my job I really dislike.
Well, I hear you, Paula Poundstone, and in solidarity with you, let's move on.
I'll be in Annapolis, Maryland on December 6th at Ram's Head on stage. They've added a second show, by the way, because it's a very small club, so that's that's two shows. That'll be 20 seats. And I'm going to have a clack there. And I'll be in San Francisco on New Year's Eve at the Sydney Goldstein Theater that was formerly the Norse.
Send your show descriptions to nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com. You could win a bar of hotel soap autographed by Paula Poundstone.
That's so important that you mention fresh hotel soap. Do not... You got to use adjectives here. You can win a bar of fresh hotel soap.
Yes, as opposed to those other podcasts that take a shower and then send you the residue. Now, if you have a theme song entry for us or a vocabulary song, you may email us at the same address. That's nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com. We'll be back after this. According to climate scientists, we have 10 years and 9 weeks until the Earth begins to become uninhabitable.
Have you been to MaxFunStore.com lately? Because we've just launched a ton of new merch for a bunch of your favorite shows. You want a patch? We've got it. Tote? Mug? Stickers? We got those too. Heck, we've even got a onesie for your favorite baby. Now is the time to start holiday shopping for the MaxFun fans in your life, including yourself. That's MaxFunStore.com.
Hi, I'm Renee Colbert.
I'm Alexis Preston.
And we're the hosts of the smash hit podcast, Can I Pet Your Dog? Now, Alexis.
Yes.
We got big news.
Uh-oh.
Since last we did a promo, our dogs have become famous.
World famous.
World, like...
Stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Second big news.
Mm-hmm.
The reviews are in.
Mm-hmm.
Take yourself to Apple Podcasts. You know what you're going to hear? We're happy.
It's true.
We're a delight, a great distraction from the world.
I like that part a lot.
So if that's what you guys are looking for, you got to check out our show. But what else can they expect?
We've got dog tech, dog news, celebrities with their dogs, all dog things.
All the dog things. So if that interests you, well, get yourself on over to Maximum Fun every Tuesday.
On this day in unremarkable history, Albert Einstein said, "Oof, why does my toast always land on the floor butter side down when it falls off my plate? I hate that."
Welcome back, all you nobodies. Hey, Paula, any message this week for the fans who
I
are
have
still
a
listening?
Message.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
From the three fans still listening this week?
This is, you know what? This people can use it to go to work and go back from work. This is a long episode. Adam, once again, I have exceptionally good news. You and I love doing this podcast, and
Tony
seems to have made her peace with it. But of course, the only way we can continue making the podcast is if we attract more listeners. The best way to do that is through word of mouth from our deeply satisfied fans. The problem is that for many listeners, telling their friends and loved ones that they are nobody listens to Paula Poundstone, the comedy podcast listeners, can be an awkward conversation. So for a while now, I have been writing a simple sample dialogue each week to pave that road for our listeners. You have, on occasion, been skeptical. Here's where I'm getting to the good news. This week on social media, one of our listeners, Nanette Burbaker Tewksbury, reached out to ask me how she might share with her friends and family over the holidays that she listens to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, the comedy podcast.
Okay.
Which means that our listeners are taking our request to spread the word seriously. Thank you, Nanette Burbaker Tewksbury. I recommend broaching the difficult subject over a holiday dinner, which, let's face it, is already crowded with awkward moments.
This is true.
Try this. Nanette Burbaker Tewksbury's parents' neighbor. "This may be the best stuffing and gravy I've ever had. Thank you so much for having me, Nanette Burbaker Tewksbury's parents. What a wonderful family you have." Nanette Burbaker Tewksbury's father. "Well, thank you. Here, have some more stuffing. When is your baby due?" Nanette Burbaker Tewksbury's parents' neighbor. "Actually, I'm not pregnant." "Thank you. No, I think I'm full." Nanette Burbaker Tewksbury's father. "Oh, well, I'll just..." Nanette Burbaker Tewksbury's teenage niece. "I'm pregnant." Nanette Burbaker Tewksbury's sister / niece's mother. "What?" Nanette Burberry Tewksbury's teenage niece. "I'm pregnant. I've wanted to tell you for a while, but I just didn't know how." Nanette Burbaker Tewksbury's grandpa. "Well, thank goodness. We thought you might have been one of those lesbigans or something." Nanette Burbaker Tewksbury's mother. "It's lesbian." Nanette Burbaker Tewksbury's grandpa. "What?" Nanette Burbaker Tewksbury's mother. "It's lesbian, Dad." Nanette Burbaker Tewksbury's grandpa. "I am not." Nanette Burbaker Tewksbury's grandmother. "I'll tell you what, little granddaughter, we used to hear your uncle slipping in and out of your Aunt Nanette Burbaker Tewksbury's bedroom when she was your age, and by God, we saw to it that he married her." Nanette Burbaker Tewksbury's sister. "That was my bedroom. I didn't want him because of his erectile dysfunction." Nanette Burbaker Tewksbury's husband. "These sweet potatoes sure are fine." Nanette Burbaker Tewksbury's brother. "I'm a Trump supporter." Whole group. "Jesus!" Nanette Burbaker Tewksbury. "I have something to say. It's something I haven't been sure how to say, but this seems like the right moment. I listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, the comedy podcast. It's informative, but mostly it's funny. It cleans my spirit with healing laughter. No one there is perfect. Adam is often just plain wrong." And Paula made a joke about Charlize Theron's teeth once for no apparent reason. But it's the imperfections that make it like putting on an old pair of jeans after a long day of office work. I listened to 2 episodes before I came here today, and I still feel good. Group.
Wow.
Nanette Burbaker Tewksbury's brother. That's fantastic. I'm going to listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, the comedy podcast. And I'm switching to Elizabeth Warren.
Well, that was awe-inspiring. And I would say, Nanette, if that does happen over the holidays, you should say that. And if that doesn't happen verbatim, then I don't know. We have no advice for you.
I know. I think I've captured Nanette's.
Well, yeah, family. But if that's not her home life, you know.
Well, surely it's someone's.
Yes.
How many holidays have had that conversation?
No, you're right. You're
that's
right.
That's just regular.
You know what? I'm in awe. That's a great piece of dialogue. I'm sure that is going to get us anywhere between 0 and 1 listeners.
Well, you know, it's
one at
listener
a time.
At a time,
yeah,
Adam.
Absolutely, Paula.
Adam, all right, get the phone. Answer the phone.
I don't want to get the phone. I want to end the show. All right. Hello.
Hey, Adam, it's me, Mike Boom Boom Bonifay. You are totally right, man. That's not going to get listeners. That's bullshit. That's some bullshit. Man.
No, Michael, I actually like that one.
Yeah, you did?
I did.
I liked it too, Adam. I liked it too.
Okay.
I love you, man. I love you. I'll see you over the weekend after the game.
No, we won't, Mike.
Yeah, I'll see you then.
No, hopefully.
I gotta go, Adam. See you then.
You can go. Not gonna see you. Okay, nobody's. Remember, our email address again is nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com.
And you can find me and Adam on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And you can find my remarkably soft tri-poly blend t-shirt with the self-portrait on the left breast and the memorable quote on the back at paulapoundstone.com.
Tri-poly's the best. That's our show. Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone is hosted by Paula Poundstone and yours truly, Adam Felber. Produced by Paula Poundstone, Adam Felber, Bonnie Burns, Ken Lezebnik, and Tony Anita Hull. Technical direction by Ray Horseman and mixing by Anthony Alfaro. Special thanks to tonight's house band, Dave Lewis.
Yeah.
Thanks to our guest, Valerie Gordon of Valerie Confections. Security muscles provided by Tyler, the Studio City Behemoth Burke. Transcription services for this show provided by TranscribeMe. For your special Paula Poundstone discount, use code Paula Poundstone when placing your order at TranscribeMe.com.
That's our show for tonight. Won't somebody please listen to me?
Hello?
Richelle Blower. I'm looking for you. Richelle Blower.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Audience supported.